The eyes of the world have been focused on Burma recently. And we can ask how long before our attention shifts, or perhaps has it already? And can we actually do any good for the people of Burma before they're forgotten again? Well, today I'm going to focus on my guests are a couple of people who have experience in Burma over the last few years, and focus on a particular event that has transpired over a few years, which is actually one of the few bits of good news out of Burma. 15 villagers from the jungles of Burma sued UNICAL for human rights abuses. And after 10 years of fierce legal battles, they won an impossible victory in U.S. courts. There's a documentary called Total Denial, which documents, first, the abuses of the Burmese villages caused by the Yadana pipeline. Milena Kaneva's guide during this journey is Kasawa, one of the leaders of the student movement for democracy in Burma in 1988, who then hid in the jungle for more than 7 years. He's wanted by the police in both Burma and Thailand, and Kasawa gathered the evidence of thousands of victims of human rights and environmental abuses to contribute to that lawsuit. A little background: in 1992, two Western oil companies, French Total and UNICAL, then based in California, since bought by Chevron, embark on a joint venture with the Burmese military regime to build a gas pipeline. The Burmese army, hired by the companies to provide security for the project, forces many in the local population into slave labor, burned villages, raped women, tortured and killed porters. Hundreds of thousands of men, women, and children hiding in the jungle is the picture of a silent genocide. In 1995, with Katie Redford, his wife and the co-founder of Earthrights International, Kasawa brought the precedent-setting lawsuit to the U.S. courts. Total Denial was shot in Burma, Thailand, Europe, and the U.S. courts between 2000 and 2005. The identity of the plaintiffs in the lawsuit and the film are protected under California state law. Their faces and voices are distorted for their security, and the images shot in the U.S. courtrooms are exclusive. My guest today, by phone, are Katie Redford, as I said, the co-founder and U.S. Office Director of Earthrights International, and Milena Kaneva, the filmmaker who created Total Denial. Katie Redford is a graduate of the University of Virginia School of Law, where she received the Robert F. Kennedy Award for Human Rights and Public Service. She received an Echoing Green Fellowship in 1995 to establish Earthrights International, ERI. Since that time, she split her time between ERI's Thailand and U.S. offices. In addition to working on ERI's litigation and teaching at the Earthrights schools, Katie currently serves as an adjunct professor of law at both University of Virginia and the Washington College of Law at American University. In 2006, she was selected as an Ashoka Global Fellow. Milena Kaneva has reported from many of the world's hotspots. She's worked in Africa, Asia, South America, reporting for Worldwide Television News, for RAI Italy, PBS, National Geographic Television, among others. Her reports with the Dalai Lama during the Kala Chakra initiation in India, her interview with the Nobel Prize laureate for peace from Burma, Dayan San Suu Kyi, kept under house arrest by the Burmese military junta for the last 15 years, were broadcast around the world. In 2000, her first long-form documentary, The Initiation, about female genital mutilation in Mali, won first prize at the Festival of Dumondi. She wrote, directed, produced, and shot Total Denial. Welcome, Katie Redford and Milena Kaneva.
Thank you.
Hello.
Okay, so first, just so we get a sense of your different voices, I like listeners to get a feel for the people behind the ideas and the work that we deal with. So, Katie, how did you end up starting a human rights organization in Burma?
That's a long story, but I'll try to make it brief. I was working on the Thai-Burma border documenting human rights abuses in Burma associated with what some call development projects, particularly natural resource extraction, such as logging and oil and gas operations. And I was hearing stories directly from Burmese people and ethnic minority people from Burma about the rape and torture, killing, and widespread forced labor that they were experiencing in direct connection to logging projects and, in particular, this gas pipeline that was being constructed by UNICAL at the time. And the people that I talked to were just astounded that a United States oil company could be involved in projects in Burma that were directly contributing to abuses such as forced labor. You know, their opinion of the United States was a country of freedom and democracy, and yet here was this American corporation being involved in slave labor and killing and rape and torture. And so I, too, felt that this was wrong, and as a law student, I felt it was unlawful. And so I realized there was a real need in Burma for people from Burma to have access to legal strategies and laws that would help them protect their human rights under international law. And so that was the inspiration for Earth Rights International, was to, you know, use legal strategies and give grassroots people, survivors of human rights abuses, another tool in their toolbox through which to seek justice against their oppressors.
Okay, so in other words, you were there, you didn't go there to do this, you discovered it, and out of that came the organization. Can you also share, I mentioned in the introduction, Kasawa, the student revolutionary who is now your partner in more ways than one. Could you tell about your encounter and developing relationship with Kasawa?
Sure. Well, you know, as an American human rights investigator, I needed people from Burma, obviously, to show me where to go and to introduce me to the witnesses and survivors of human rights abuses from Burma. And I needed someone who could also speak the language and who had the trust of local people in the regions where the human rights abuses were happening. And so when I first went to the Thai-Burma border and actually crossed into Burma in 1993, Kasawa was one of the few people who was doing, few people from Burma at the time in that area who was doing human rights documentation. Most of the students and many of the ethnic minority groups at that time, and in fact still today, had taken up arms against the military dictatorship, particularly following the uprisings in 1988 when the entire country tried nonviolent resistance and were so brutally and violently crushed. So many people at that time were taking up arms and fighting a military battle, a guerrilla war against the central regime. And he was one of the few people who was actually doing human rights documentation and trying to get these silenced voices and the stories of human rights abuses onto the international stage and in the international spotlight. And so he helped me at the time to identify villagers and to hear their stories and translate their stories and also explain the relevance of their stories. And he was really, at that time, tuned in to the role of UNICAL, this American corporation, in both financially supporting this junta that's still in power today, but also their role in and their complicity in the human rights abuses, because they were in a business arrangement with the military regime and they had essentially hired the Burmese soldiers to provide security on their project.
Right. So in other words, Kasawa was already documenting human rights abuses before those human rights abuses and the villagers who were willing to come forward became part of your lawsuit.
Absolutely. Okay. Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Okay. And eventually, by the way, just so people know, the two of you have gotten married.
Yes. Yeah. Many years later, we did get married and we have two children. And so our work and our life as with many human rights activists are intertwined.
Right. Let me now bring in, and we'll come back to you, Katie. Let me now bring in Milena Kaneva, producer, director, and cinematographer of Total Denial, a documentary which is screening at the Fairfax Cinema in L.A. and the Cinema Village in New York currently. It is on the landmark case. This is KPFK, 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 Santa Barbara, streaming and podcasting at kpfk.org. Milena, how did you end up creating this documentary?
Well, it is a story that came to me because I had already my interest in Burma. I was in 1995 for the first time as a journalist in Burma, and I saw what at the time was the opening for foreign investment because the Burmese generals had their economy shaking, and they knew that that would end their regime. So they made this turn and started the Myanmar year of tourism. And, of course, there were very few tourists that could go there because the country was very, very closed before. And I witnessed how they were building enormous hotels, and they were inviting and striving for investment. At the time, succeeding to have the interview with Aung San Suu Kyi, which was my main aim, and my cover was that I'm doing a film on Buddhism, but she told in that interview, when I asked her, what would you ask the West, how can the West help? And she said very clearly, I would ask them to wait that we, the people who are chosen by the country to rule the country and who are the legitimate government, would come back out of prison and take our place. Because now, if anybody invests in the country, it will only strengthen this regime, and no money will be spent for the people. All the money will go to arm them and make them stronger and stronger. I went out with that interview and couldn't go back to Burma for many years. And in the year 2000, I learned about this amazing, for me, lawsuit in which 15 villagers, as you said, were suing in U.S. courts because they don't have a legal system in Burma, two of the most powerful oil corporations. And Total is a French company, and I was living at the time in Italy, was closer to me. So I decided that that's a story to be told, and I went to the French Total shareholders meeting in Paris, and the organizers at the time of the protest told me, you're really lucky because Casale and Katie will be here. And I was like, who is Casale? Who is Katie? Because in all these months of research, there was this documentation called Total Denial. Actually, the name of the film comes from the name of their now historic report of all the violations that happened there. And one morning, I arrived in Paris, and I saw in a coffee shop this young couple, Casale, Katie, and their three-year-old daughter, Alexis, sleeping on Katie's shoulder. I will never forget that image. And I understood that behind that amazing historic case, there is these two young people, and these two young people have been able to make the impossible. So this is when I really understood there is a story. And then by interviewing the French shareholders, whose answers you will hear in the film were unbelievable. They would say things like, well, there are genocides in other parts of the world, so it does not mean anything. We can invest our money in Burma. Or, well, if it's not us, the French, then there will be the Americans. And so what's wrong with that? And that made me think that we are complicit. We are complicit even when we think we don't know, because there is no way you cannot know. If you want to be informed, the evidence is there, the news are there, and this is what we saw now, that same regime turned again the arms against its own people and turned their arms against the monks, who are the spiritual leaders of this country, and the repression will be and is even worse than what happened in 88.
Okay, and that's the voice of Malena Kaneva. She's producer-director of Total Denial. The documentary is playing at the Fairfax Cinema in L.A., the Cinema Village in New York, and hopefully will spread out across the country and will be available in DVD. You can learn more about the film at TotalDenialTheFilm.com. TotalDenialFilm.com. I also have with me Katie Redford, co-founder, co-director of Earth Rights International, who was kind of the genesis of the lawsuit. Before we speak about the lawsuit, would one of you, and just identify yourself when you begin to speak, can one of you bring us up to date on the situation which has been in the international news and which you just referred to, Malena, of the recent protests and the response of the military dictatorship? And where do we stand today? Who wants to take it?
You, because you
Katie.
Came from there recently.
Okay.
Katie Redford.
Well, I mean, I think that the current situation in Burma is quite dire. The military has effectively suppressed the peaceful protests. They have used their tried and true methods of arrest, killing, torture, and intimidation to really suppress the democratic aspirations of the people of Burma for now. Of course, those aspirations are very much still alive, but people are really terrified. You know, the military, following the shootings in the street where they, as Milana described, turned their guns on students and monks and civilians, they then had hundreds, if not thousands, of arrests.
Yeah, let me ask you, Katie, if I could. I know that it is difficult to get information out of Burma. Can you give us whatever is the your best guess as to how many deaths, how many arrests, how many imprisoned?
Sure. You know, there really is no way of confirming this, but the information that we have and that we know to be reliable is that there were probably about 200 deaths, over 200 deaths, although, you know, again, that probably means there's many, many more that we don't know about, but certainly the numbers that have been confirmed are about 200 and then thousands of people arrested. But again, this is very difficult to establish in a country that is
so close.
Can I
add something on this? Because Katie's a lawyer and she and Casale in their investigation had always prove that it's better to keep smaller numbers than bigger, because what that needs to be verified very precisely. I know that in 88, the world now admits that there were about 3,000 victims. And my guess is that this time, when the situation was even worse and is more critical for the generals, there probably are at least the same number of victims. And there were stories, because I've been to the protests now in New York and around a lot of the Burmese community, and they are getting information clandestinely out of the country, and a great personal risk of the people who go out, that there are so many people that are missing. And these missing people, what the military, in the story of Kasawa, of the repression that he lived through, were putting at the time in 1988, people who were still alive and only wounded with the killed bodies on trucks and were burying them alive. I heard stories about now bodies who had been burnt, so that there are no traces. They don't make mass graves because they know that mass graves will be found out and then the world will put a finger on you. So they just burn in their tradition the bodies. So it is, when you ask us this question, it always will be guess, and people can say it is just speculation. But the reality of the regime is that its brutality has increased so much, because in the 90s, their army was about 100,000 people, that's, or 150,000 people. And now we know that it's an army of about 400,000 people. So,
And what's the population of Burma?
About 45 million, am I wrong?
Wow.
Maybe?
Well, it's somewhere between around 45, 50 million. But again, the census of the country is not reliable. They regularly don't count certain aspects of the population. So it's very difficult.
I want to return a little bit to the story of the lawsuit. But before I do, let me ask you, Katie, in addition to your organization, Earth Rights International, and the website is earthrights.org, if listeners want to learn more, get involved, see if there's anything they can do from here to help, in addition to your organization, or others, that where they can go to get information or to give help?
Absolutely. We definitely have information on our website, and we have a petition, an online petition about Burma right now. Another great organization, particularly for U.S. listeners, is the U.S. Campaign for Burma. And I think their website is uscampaignforburma.org. But in any case, if you Google that organization, they have very up-to-date and fantastic information and action items regularly.
And what is it then that listeners can do? As I said in the introduction, you know, the attention of the world ignores Burma most of the time. And then, you know, there are these moments when something happens there and there's suddenly it's on the radar screen and then, you know, it fades again. Can people actually have an effect from here?
It's very difficult, actually, for individuals in the United States right now to do anything because, frankly, the United States government has been quite strong on Burma over the years. We have very strong sanctions on the country as well as an import ban. And with regard to the UN activity, the U.S. has been one of the leaders on human rights in Burma. And so in that case, the U.S. is doing well. And as such, because of the sanctions, virtually every U.S. corporation is out of Burma.
And yet Chevron is not. Could you quickly tell us why Chevron is still, Chevron, who bought Unocal, is still able to operate in Burma?
Sure. The sanctions legislation, which originally passed in 1997, grandfathered in any corporation that was there at the time. And so at that time, Unocal was already in Burma. They were allowed to stay. And then when Chevron acquired Unocal, they also acquired the benefit of that grandfather clause. There are a couple of bills in Congress right now to tighten sanctions on Burma. There's one in the House, which is Senator Lantos, and then there are actually two in the Senate. Congressman Lantos, and then two in the Senate, Senator McCain, and a new one that I think Senator Biden is sponsoring. So definitely U.S. citizens can, you know, contact their senators and representatives.
And can they learn about this at earthrights.org?
Yes.
Okay.
They can.
Very good. We've only got about three more minutes. Two and a half, actually. This half hour flies by. And I want to give a little bit of information out at the end. Katie, tell us about the lawsuit. It was precedent-setting. It was completely out of the box thinking, an amazing victory, and this is much of what is told in the film Total Denial.
Yes. First of all, I was one of many people who were involved in this lawsuit, and I do think that I want to correct what you said, which is that I was the genesis. Really, the people of Burma were the genesis, because these survivors of slave labor and rape and torture by Unocal's security guards, the Burmese army, came to me and others saying, we will do anything to seek justice from this.
And let me also say,
what can we do?
A Los Angeles law firm, Hartzell & Stormer, was a big player in this as well, correct?
Yes, Hartzell & Stormer, and also another Los Angeles lawyer, Paul Hoffman, was actually the lead counsel in the case, and the Center for Constitutional Rights in New York, which is a nonprofit organization that does human rights litigation.
What is the law under which Unocal was brought to court on behalf of 15 villagers in Burma?
Right. Earthrights represented 11 of those villagers in a case brought under the Alien Tort Claims Act, which is a law dating back to the 18th century, passed by our first Congress, that provides federal court jurisdiction for torts, injuries that happen to a non-U.S. citizen in violation of the laws of nations. And so human rights law is the basis of the case, and Unocal, in contracting with the Burmese military, hiring them to provide security, was complicit, we argued, in the abuses such as forced labor, rape, and torture that the Burmese military carried out on Unocal's behalf. And so the case, as you said, went on for almost 10 years, and we were really on the eve of trial when Unocal had lost every chance that it had to get the case kicked out of court, and they came into a settlement arrangement with the plaintiffs of the case.
Very good. Okay, I'm going to have to wrap up. This is obviously an amazing case. It's a meaningful topic. If you want to learn more about what's going on in Burma and how to try to do something about it, you can go to earthrights.org. You can see the film Total Denial, and you can learn more about the film at totaldenialfilm.com. As I said, it's playing at the Fairfax in L.A. and the Cinema Village in New York. I've been speaking with Katie Redford of Earth Rights International and Melina Kaneva, producer, director, and cinematographer of Total Denial. You can email me at temcnally@mac.com if you want to learn more about the show or if you want to get on a weekly announcement list telling you who's going to be on what we're going to talk about. Thank you, Melina Kaneva and Katie Redford. Keep up the good work.